Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Cold as ice. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Ice installations are a long-standing Russian tradition. They were built as fortresses for the training of soldiers and for the entertainment of civilians. In the winter of 1739, with record cold temperatures, the Empress Anna Ivanovna ordered Alexis Tatsichev, sorry about the pronunciation, a court functionary, to construct an 80-foot-long, 33-foot-high, 23-feet-deep, beautiful ice palace. The palace itself and the surrounding festivities were part of Russia's victory over the Ottoman Empire and would represent Russian patriotism and power, and also Anna Ivanovna's own particular brand of sadism. But first, let's get into a little bit about Ivanovna, the Russian empress that is kind of forgotten. She reigned for 10 years, and they were memorable but painful. Born in 1693, Anna was the daughter of Tsar Ivan V, a useless man who was really only there for ceremony. Peter the Great, Anna's uncle and co-tsar, performed most of the real tsar jobs. Anna grew up with a traditional Russian royal upbringing for a girl. No education. She was barely literate. She was also, according to texts, not pretty. The author Thomas Carlyle once cruelly described her cheeks as Westphalian ham. She was mean, she had terrible manners, but still, in royal tradition, she was married off to Frederick William, the Duke of Courland, now part of Latvia. And Anna was really into it. She was actually really happy to be married. She loved him authentically, for all intents and purposes, what I saw. The wedding was beautiful. She was dressed in the finest, and the ceremony ended with a display of beautiful fireworks. But 2 days after the couple's marriage, Anna's uncle, Tsar Peter the Great, staged a wedding of two dwarves as a cruel parody of Anna's. This description, again, it's in the history books, and it sounds really heartbreaking. Between his marriage to Anna and attending the very strange dwarf wedding, Frederick William, the Duke of Courland, drank a lot, even challenging Peter the Great to a drinking contest. He drank so much that he got sick and died 2 months after his own wedding. Anna was heartbroken and wanted desperately to remarry, but Peter rejected every suitor. There were almost 200 of them. And Anna internalized it and took the hint. She was not supposed to have love, and she started hating the idea of love. With Frederick William's death, Anna became ruler of Courland, and in 1730 she became Empress of Russia, which gave her a lot of power to do whatever she wanted. And so with her power, she made an ice palace. And this is when something celebrated takes a macabre turn. Okay, so we have this Tsarina, Tsaress. She is drunk with power, and a man named Prince Mikhail from one of the most noble houses in Russia married a Catholic Italian woman. Anna, given her history and demeanor, took it incredibly personally. This is a man who was well-liked in court, very popular, authentically showing his love for his wife, who was Catholic, which again, Anna hated three things: love, marriage, and Catholics. And they were really happy. Unfortunately, Prince Mikhail's wife died shortly after their marriage, but Anna saw it as an opportunity. She turned Mikhail from a courtesan, from a prince almost, into a court jester. One of his duties as court jester? Pretending to be a chicken and sitting on a nest of eggs in Anna's reception room and pretending to lay them when visitors came to see her. So something that is so dignified and happy, this man living his life, reduced down to a joke, to a degrading position in the court. In 1739, Anna decided to marry Prince Mikhail to one of her maids, Avdotya Ivanovna. The maid was apparently very old and ugly. On the day of their wedding, the couple were dressed as clowns and made to ride an elephant to be presented to a laughing crowd. Prince Mikhail and Avdotya were married, legally. And this is where the ice castle comes back into play. They were demanded, they could not go against this, meant to spend their wedding night, their forced wedding night, inside of the ice palace's primary bedroom, the bridal suite. Did I mention, too, that they had all their clothes taken away from them during one of the coldest winters in Russian history? Most people thought they would freeze to death, but they didn't. Supposedly, they survived because the bride traded her pearls for a coat from one of the guards. They also spent the night running around wildly, apparently breaking anything they could find, just trying to keep warm. The legend is that the couple went on to actually enjoy a happy marriage and have twins conceived that terrible night in the ice. That's a pretty nice story. Historians now say that's probably not what happened, and records point to the fact that Avdotya, already in weak health, died a few days later after the ice palace experience, probably from pneumonia. The palace itself, now in neglect, out of Anna's interest, melted in April 1740. As for Anna Ivanovna, she died the following October of kidney trouble. She left no heirs, and to this day, people often describe her as the worst ruler in Russian history with the nicest ice sculpture.
I need to hear her side of the story first before I make any decisions.
Okay, do you? Well, that's impossible, and she's mean. She's a mean woman. She's a mean, cold, literally, figuratively Russian woman.
I'm in.
History is full of bizarre, unsolved mysteries. And over time, these stories have been bent by rumor, warped by social media, and twisted into legend. I'm Michael May, and on A Study of Strange, we dig into these real mysteries and seek the truth, as close as we can get anyway. Recently, we've covered true crime cases like the Greystone Mansion murder, the Red Lipstick Killer, and America's first reported serial killers. Of course, every now and then we also dive into the odd, esoteric, and paranormal, including vanishing people, haunted locations, and UFO history. So if you like your mysteries historical, or if you love a good debunking every now and then, search A Study of Strange wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, the truth is always stranger than fiction.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.